Yes, that's true.
Got it.
All right. Well, welcome, everyone. Welcome to our first bargaining session of a new calendar year, 2023. This is January 11th, 2023, and this is a bargaining session between the United Faculty of Florida's chapter at the University of Central Florida and the bargaining team for the UCF Board of Trustees. Our first order of business today is to review the minutes from our last bargaining session on December 20th. And Charlie, thank you for posting those for us. Okay. Talat, any comments on those minutes?
No, I think that's fine. I think one thing that we, if needed, we could, you know, we did a verbal counter proposal, and that was problematic in the sense that people didn't have a record of it. But maybe we can, when we talk about it, we can introduce something there. But I think that's the true reflection of what happened.
Okay, so there's no objections to the minutes, so right. We will move on to the next thing then.
Right.
All right. What we would like to get to in a moment is an updated proposal for Article 23 from the Board of Trustees team. And as we prepare to do that, as we prepare to show you that, there's some things that I want to mention. Some of this we've talked about before. Some of it may be a little bit new. We have two articles open, Articles 22 and 23. And we view those as a package. If we're going to reach agreement, we're going to have to reach agreement on both of those articles at the same time. We're going to start today by sharing with you a new version of Article 23. And the timing of when we reach agreement, the timing of ratification, the timing of implementation of salary increases, the pay dates, and some other spending issues need to be reviewed. So we're going to be talking a little bit about that. What we have found out since our last bargaining session is we've been asked to make sure that the effective date of any salary increases, or one-time payments, is at the start of the second pay period in the month. And what that does is make sure that when the university contributes to the various insurance coverages, we have everything's copacetic, everything's done at the right time, and everybody's properly paid up for their insurance coverages. And then after that becomes effective, the first pay date is 3 weeks after the effective date. So, if we were to make something effective today, which we won't, hopefully we'll agree on something today, but if we were to make it effective today, it'd be 3 weeks today from today when it would actually show up in our paychecks. And then I had a conversation after our last bargaining session with President Casanello, and we sort of think that we need 3 weeks in order, 3 weeks from the date that we reach agreement in order for the union to ratify what we've agreed to. We want to make sure that people have an opportunity to review the articles as we've agreed to them tentatively, and we want to make sure that they have an opportunity not only to review them, but then to get to a place where they can vote in time. And Robert, if I'm misstating anything, please jump in and correct me. After February, if agreement has not been reached, there are some non-recurring funds that are on the table right now that will still need to be spent by June 30th. And if we haven't reached agreement by the end of February, those may have to be directed to other priorities. The university's made it very clear to us that the first priority is taking care of university employees. And that's why we want to hopefully reach agreement very, very soon. A second priority, an example of a second priority, is supporting and expanding the research enterprise consistent with the university's strategic plan. And I want to share my screen for a moment, except the host has not allowed me to share my screen. The host is much more gracious now, and I can do this. Okay, hopefully you're seeing a table here that we want you to see. This sort of demonstrates how the dates are important to us. We had come to you before suggesting that the one-time payment and a 1% across the board could be effective on January 6th with a first pay date of January 27th. In order to make that happen, we would have needed to TA on the 14th of December. We tried again on the 20th of December, but we were in pretty dangerous territory at that point. And then we would have needed the UFF to ratify that by January 4th in order to get everything in place to make this happen. I'm scratching that out. That's clearly gone. That's not an opportunity right now. And the next effective date that we're looking at right now is February 17th. It would hit employees' paychecks on March 10th. In order to do that, we have to TA by January 25th. And that would then allow for, if looking at 3 weeks to ratify, we would need the UFF to ratify anything we agreed to by January 25th, by February 15th, and then HR would upload the data that had been for the increase and the one-time payment on March 3rd, so that it would be reflected in the pay on March 10th. If we aren't able to agree by January 25th, but we make it by February 22nd, we can have an effective date of March 17th. The first time it would hit paychecks would be April 7th. The UFF would have to ratify by March 15th. HR would do their thing by March 31st. Technically, in order to make things work in this fiscal year, if we were to TA by March 22nd, there could be an effective date of April 14th, first pay date of May 5th. UFF would have to ratify by April 12th, then payroll would do their thing on April 28th. But I'll be speaking more later on about that particular option, the February 22nd deadline.
Chuck, may I ask something here?
Absolutely.
As if by some stroke of luck we were to TA today, then would February 3rd be an option?
No, we don't have enough time to get everything in and hit that second pay period of the month.
Okay, so you're encouraging us to continue to bargain for 2 more weeks.
No, I mean, Talat, I'm always encouraging you to agree with us. I hope we reach agreement, but anything that we would agree to today through the 25th of January would become effective on the 17th of February.
So we cannot really get anything done February 3rd.
No, unfortunately, no. But this is the earliest that we could do it. We were really putting HR to the test with that first attempt at a January 6th effective date. But the next date that we can really make this effective is on February 17th. And it's a lot for your sanity and mine, and those the sanity of our entire teams. I hope we don't have to wait till the 25th to do that, but we do have that particular
sure.
window.
Sure.
So anyhow, those are the dates that I wanted to share with you. As we had done before, today the BLT is proposing a one-time payment prorated based on FTE for all continuing in-unit employees. As we did with the one-time payment that we had in June, CNG and auxiliary employees are eligible for that one-time payment. We're also proposing, again, a 1% across-the-board increase for ENG employees with annual evaluations of satisfactory or better, and a 2% merit pool for ENG employees with evaluations of above satisfactory or better. There was some discussion that we had last time about how, you know, I'm sort of looking at that as a 3% package. We have a one-time payment and a 3% package on top of that. In discussions that I've had, the university and the board is adamant about the importance of a merit-based increase. So we really think that that's important, that that's one of the components that we're dealing with. And we had some discussion last time about whether it made sense for employees with satisfactory evaluations to be eligible for a merit increase. And I can tell you, after some discussion among ourselves about that, we're here today to say that as far as the university is concerned, a satisfactory evaluation is not indicative of meritorious performance, and that would be why the employees with satisfactory evaluations would not be eligible for the merit increases. Todd, I know last time we got together, you had suggested, is there anything we can do to get to a 3.5%? And we had certainly asked that question, and the recurring funds that we have available to us really are limited to increases totaling 3%. That's where we are right now. Since we got together, I spent a lot of time looking at how these merit increases are implemented. I have a much better understanding of how that's done. It's been a while since we've agreed on a salary increase based on merit. The last time was 2016-17. There was a three-year period in a row where there was some component of the raise that was based on merit. And what we do is whatever the merit rate is, we create a pool in each department or unit, and then the employees with evaluations of above satisfactory and outstanding in those units receive increases that are proportional to their own salary, but we specify, and we've suggested in what we proposed, that the employees that get outstanding evaluations would get 1.7 times the increase, the rate of increase that the employees with the above satisfactory evaluations would get. So that's still in there from what we had before. We'll show you some changes we have made to Article 23 shortly. But basically the components of the package we had proposed are the same. There's some date changes that we want to share with you. There are other changes in Article 23 that we proposed. There are a number of places where we have recommended the use of the adjective academic to modify the noun year for clarity purposes, just to make sure that everybody understands what year means when it appears in there. We had also proposed for the other college that's made up of units that, like the College of Graduate Studies, the College of Undergraduate Studies, and some of the research institutes, that they would get two TIPS and two RIAs. So we're just trying to earmark two TIPS and two RIAs to that other college, not changing the total number of TIPS, the total number of RIAs. And we think there would be a better distribution of TIPS and RIAs to the units where there's more teaching done, there's more research that's done. We also had proposed a smaller FTE for service for faculty and employees that would be eligible for the Excellence in Professional Service Award. We want to continue to emphasize that we're trying to make more of the in-unit employees eligible for those Excellence in Professional Service Awards. We also had said that we wanted to recognize in Article 23 that there's no ADI limitation for auxiliary employees. There already is, it's already stated for CNG, but the same would apply for auxiliary employees. And we just want to make sure that that's clear as well. And we'd also suggested some changes about notification for ADIs and stipends. So those are still there.
Chuck, so there's no substantial change in the proposal that you have right now on Article 23. Is that right?
No. I'm going to show you, I'm changing dates.
Okay. So otherwise, the content is the same.
Yes.
And how it impacts everyone is the same. Yeah. Okay. I wanted to be clear about that.
Yeah. And thank you for helping me clarify that. I wanted to go over some of this so that you understand that we took very seriously the questions that you raised at our last bargaining session. We did meet with leadership about those questions, about what do we do for a total raise package, for example. We did that. We talked about whether employees with annual evaluations of satisfactory ought to be eligible for merit increases. We had discussions about that, and as a result of those discussions, we have not changed anything with regard to those two particular questions. But we did pursue it as you had asked us to do. Okay. Something that I wanted to mention before we look at exactly what's changed. Something that really resonated with us from conversations that we've had at previous bargaining sessions. I think we agree with the UFF that an unmistakable way to express appreciation to employees is a sizable salary increase. We agree that that's an unmistakable way to express appreciation. Sometimes a sizable increase is not possible. Sometimes funds are limited and it'd be irresponsible to make a promise that couldn't be kept. At this time, the university is experiencing lower enrollment, which means less tuition revenue. So that means there's less E&G funding that's available. There also are inflationary pressures that we know employees are facing personally and are feeling those personally that impact the university as well, just as we personally have to pay more for goods and services, so does the university. So there's just not as much money available as we would hope that there would be. So again, an unmistakable way to express appreciation to employees is to give them a sizable salary increase. I suggest to you also that appreciation of employees is evident when an employer chooses to support employees over other institutional priorities. In spring 2022, when we were talking about the one-time payment that employees got in June, that was made possible because President Cartwright diverted recurring funds for his own strategic investment initiative to make that possible for employees. While we were in the process of negotiating that one-time payment for your bargaining unit, you didn't know it, but there were discussions that we were having saying, we don't know whether we're going to be able to open Article 23 in the fall. We really didn't know whether we're going to be able to open it. And we decided, well, we just don't want to close that door. We don't want to say that it's impossible. But at that time, we didn't think it was very likely. But we did want to keep that possibility open and keep it on the table. As you know, in the fall, it took us a while to come up with an actual salary proposal. You came to us on September 21st, our first bargaining session, and presented us with an Article 23, and we appreciated that you did that. As you'll recall, it wasn't until December 14th that we presented our first proposal to you, which included a three-part salary package. You asked us to consider increasing what was in that original package. We were able to do that in part by offering a larger one-time payment when we got together on December 20th, and we were pleased to do that. We're changing things up slightly today, mostly with the dates, and also recognizing that some time has passed and it will impact the one-time payment. But based on conversations that we have had since December 20th with leadership of the university, right now, we believe that we are putting the very best offer on the table that we can. And as I already mentioned, you know, we think coming to agreement by February 22nd is important for all of us. It ensures that the funds that are dedicated right now for the one-time payment are not necessarily redirected to other priorities so that they can be spent before the end of the fiscal year. I'd love to be able to say, you know, if we decided on June 29th, that we agreed on June 20th. I don't want to wait that long. I'm not suggesting we wait till June 29th, but June 29th, we don't have the option of doing anything else with funds that we wouldn't have agreed to spend.
So I don't think we want to get there. I mean, then we
we agree on something. Excellent.
Yeah, there could be MOUs and so on, but we don't want to get there. We want to thing resolved as soon as possible.
Today is my favorite day to come to agreement. I'm suggesting to you is that February 22nd is another critical date for us to keep in mind.
Sure.
I'm going to show one more thing on the screen before we... I hope you see another table now.
No, we see the same one, Chuck.
It's different. It's different.
Oh, it is?
Yes. Yeah, there's one less row.
There's an amount, yeah. Uh-huh.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. So.
What we had before in December 20th is we were offering a $2,500 one-time payment.
Okay.
What we have done is updated that one-time payment with the recognition that from January 6th to February 17th, there are three pay periods that pass. So that one-time payment amount has been increased by $125 per pay period.
Okay.
So it would be $2,875 if we became effective on February 17th. Okay. If it took us another 4 weeks, that's two more pay periods, it would go up another $250 if it became effective on March 17th, because we had agreed by February 22nd.
Mm-hmm.
But I had another row before saying that there might be an effective date of April 14th. What I can't do is make a promise about a one-time payment if that's when we, if we don't reach agreement by February 22nd, I can't complete that table. So I just want you to see that that's what we're proposing. Sure. Our preference is to give everybody a one-time payment of $2,875 in their check that arrives on March 10th. That's what we would like to do, make this effective on February 17th. Okay, so that's what we're looking at. I am going to ask Charlie to share Article 23. Okay, in the version that you have on the screen, what I'm doing is highlighting the changes that we've made.
Uh-huh.
The changes are simply changing those dates. The effective dates, when these payments or increases would reach paychecks. And I've also highlighted the one-time payment amount. Assuming we have this effective on February 17th, that payment amount is $2,875. I think there's a highlighted thing or two on the next page. There's one, another date. And everything else in this article is exactly the same that we shared with you on December 20th.
Okay.
So that is our 23 version 3.
Okay. Thanks, Charlie. And if I may, I did want to respond to a few things because there's been some misconception as well. So let me first, be a more on the, on the positive side. Actually, okay, here is my Zoom, which seems to have disappeared. No, I'm here. Okay. So I just wanted to break down the numbers and just take a look at where what we had asked and what you've come up with. And, when you do the full analysis, we are not that far off because we didn't ask for a lot. Okay. And what you've come back with is when we break it down, it's very interesting. Okay. So when I did the numbers and basically what your offer is right now is, 1% across the board and then 2% for merit. So when it comes to the funds that UCF is going to be allocating, you've got that and you've got this now. I took the number 2,500, but of course it can be increased to 2,875. And so I did some numbers just to see how it all works out. And I'm basically going by the average salary is something like 102,000 or 100,000. I'm not exactly sure. So for example, 1%.
It's very convenient to work with an average of 100,000.
100,000. So that's perfect because then you don't have to be a math major. But Charlie, you and I both had to check. You and I both had to take a lot of math. Okay, so 1% is 1,000. So basically, when you look down at it, we have about 1,610. Bargaining unit members at this point. I think we've lost some, so it is 1610 at this point. And so what we're looking at is basically, it breaks down very nicely. I have these numbers and I'll include it in the minutes. So essentially what BOT is proposing is something like 1.64 million that goes towards the across the board, then 3.28 million, that is your 2%. And then let's go with the 2,500 figure for now. We'll add the 175 and so on. But that's something, another 4 million. Okay. So basically, what you're doing is providing something like $5 million, $4.9 million roughly, for the recurring, from recurring funds, and about $4 million from non-recurring funds. Okay. So when we look at all of this, this is actually quite interesting because if we look at that number, either 2,500 or 2,875, what we're really talking about is that there's the 1% and then the 2%, which together make 3%. And then the 2,500 is another 2.5. So you're basically, if that 2,500, let's be hypothetical, if that were a recurring one, then basically you're offering us a 5.5% raise. I know you're not doing that, but essentially
actually, thank you for coming to that conclusion. That's something that we pointed out that we were doing for the year.
Yeah, I want people to understand that. I want people to understand that we've got something good here, right? So there are a few things that come up with that, and that 5.5%, neither the 7% that we asked really matches what has been going on. That I think we all agree. I mean, in the sense that, I mean, it's horrendous the way rents have gone up in Orlando is just unbelievable, right? And we hearing
thing it, we agree about a lot.
Yeah, it's going around the country. And Orlando is very badly affected. So for example, the now average cost of living in Orlando is $21.29 per month, making it among the top 4% of the most expensive cities in the world. It ranks 375 out of some 9,000 on the global list. And there's a price hike of 40% that has gone up. So the tremendous hardship, particularly for people who are making below average, below the 100,000, they're the ones who are suffering the most, okay? So in some ways, supposing that this were a recurrence, so let's say you made us this offer that we'll give you what you've given now, and you say, we'll give you the same next year. Okay? I think we'll be in great shape. Okay? Even with the recurring and the non-recurring. All right? So that's one scenario. The other scenario is that if you were to give us a higher raise, you won't have to give us the non-recurring funds because you would have used up all your funds. So there is something about budgeting, right? There's something, and I do understand that when you are, working with this large a budget, that you want to have some leeway about where things go. But I do think that a multi-year raise package would make sense. I know you've said that we cannot do it this year, but this is something that, we should be thinking about, because what the discussions that we have today are going to go on also with what we discuss with you next year at this time, right? So they are not going to change. And so what I'm wondering is that while it is great to have this, the 2,500 or 2,875, it would be really good to see if we could work in terms of higher percentage increases. That's one way of looking at it. The other way of looking at it is that perhaps we could go this way because a big chunk of money that is one time across the board actually helps people who are lower, who are paid less than the average. It helps them more. So in that sense, I think this is a progressive way to go. And perhaps that's all right. But what our problem is that we are never talking about this multi-year raises. That would make a big difference. I think that would also take away a lot of the pain that and the anguish. I think people who are making $60,000, $70,000, $80,000, they're not in great shape. And that's where we have to be thinking about it. So that's one part of it. But I do want you and BOT to understand that we are appreciative. It is good that we are thinking about this and that and for bargaining unit members to also feel that they're being recognized for what they have been doing all these years. And I know I sound like a broken record, but I think UCF in the whole SUS system stands out because of our low faculty to student ratio. And I think one thing that I did want to do is I did want to share screen if Charlie, you'll allow me. Can I do that, Charlie? Let's see. Maybe she will. No, she has not.
Andrew will have to give. There you go.
Okay. You can do that. Okay. All right. Ooh, where did it go? So let's see. I don't know if you can see. Can you see my screen?
Yes.
So basically, I'm missing that number. I'm missing FSU, but my colleague just wrote to me and I haven't put it in there. There's actually pretty substantial, but let's go with what we have here. So here, and again, ours is similar to UF, but if you look at some of the others, then again, the UNF just came up with 5% increase. UWF came up with 5% across the base, and then a 2.9, which was 1%. I think we are on the low side, and I wanted that to be recognized. It would have been better to have been more in the 5% range, but that's what what the what others in the system are getting. Okay, so I'll include this in the records. So that's where we are in terms of salaries. And then the next question that comes in is that of merit. In that regard, I wanted to mention that in addition to what you have provided just now with the 1% and the 2% and the 2875, we should also recognize the ADIs, right? The ADIs, and again, when I say that, ADIs are also going to bargaining unit members, right? So they are part of the deal. And when we looked at the ADIs, and no, why did I stop sharing? Because I would like to share something again. Where did we go? Okay, see ya. Okay, so I have one more. Okay, so we looked at the ADI numbers, and I'm just going to share a screen. And come on. Right. Okay, can you see that?
Yes.
Now. Okay, so these are the numbers that were spent for ADIs. And actually that number came out to be, I didn't even look at that number, but that's what it comes out to be. So basically 72%, so ADIs are given for various reasons. Counter offers made up 16%, stipends made up 12%, and then merit made up 72%. And that was mostly merit. And
stipends are not part of ADI. They're uh-huh. thing entirely, but just to say that out loud, but go ahead, it's fine.
Oh, no, that makes my case even stronger. Because if stipends are not, then basically ADI is something like 80% then. 80% of ADIs went for merit. Okay, so if you look at that number, and again, so I'll stop sharing at this point. So that number again is 1.1. And in fact, if I, with Charlie's correction, that would be more like 1.2. So 1.2% is going for merit. Okay, so if you look at it that way, then merit has, people have already been rewarded by merit. And the problem with merit, and you know, as chair, I know this as well as anybody, that as former chair, you know, merit is subjective, and people who get ADIs a lot of times are not too different from those who didn't get an increase in ADI, right? I mean, there are many reasons why ADIs are given, okay? And so, and a lot, when we look at the list, you know, there are departments in which half of the department has gotten ADI. You know, people have gotten about, you know, let's say department of 27, about 10 people have gotten $3,000. Another five have gotten $5,000 and so on. So we're talking about merit raises, let's call that merit because that's what it is, being already given by, you know, whoever is evaluating the merit, in this case, of course, the chair and the dean. So merit is already something that is being taken into account. I also wanted to bring in some more numbers so that we don't get too carried away by any of these categories. I think there's one is more of this philosophical way of looking at it, and the philosophical way of looking at it is that if people are being evaluated as satisfactory, then you know, depending on the criteria that are being used for evaluation, somebody being evaluated as satisfactory in some department may be evaluated as above satisfactory in another department. So you know, there's no uniform criterion here. I think even though ASEPs, the way they are created, faculty are involved, but there's a lot of input and changes made from the dean's office, provost office, and so on. So it's not something that is just done by faculty, and also faculty in different units are different. And so our thinking is that we have also, in our ask, also taken merit into account. We did not ask for anybody who did not get satisfactory or above to be given a raise, right? Our ask was also that. So I think what we are saying here is that merit, satisfactory to us also amounts as meritorious, maybe not as meritorious, obviously, by the distinction. So some distinction can be made, but they should be included. So that was our reason. But I should also point out that 4%, and that's really good, that only 4%, if I got the numbers correct from you, I think I got them from you, Chuck, last time, that 78% of bargaining unit members are evaluated as outstanding. Another 17 are above satisfactory, and 4 are satisfactory, 4%, 17%, and then 4% satisfactory. So that number is low. And if we understand how these evaluations are going to be made, perhaps that number can be even lower. But my concern is that because we haven't used merit in this sense for a long time, we haven't connected merit to evaluation, the salary raises to your evaluation. And I can point out to many instances where somebody could have argued, I have people in mind who could and should have argued to have gotten something better than satisfactory. If need be, I can even show this case, because this is such a clear-cut case. But there are times when, mistakes are made, or somebody doesn't pay attention, or somebody doesn't know the rules, or you have a new chair. So there are lots of cases where this happens. And that's my concern for why we were arguing that anybody getting satisfactory, and since we're talking about 4%, it's not going to change the numbers very much, that be included, at least for this time around. And then if we're going to do it merit-based, it's all clear to everyone, and we can move forward with that. So that was our reason. What I'm happy about to note is that the numbers is although it is there, it is 4%. So that was the concern. Now, the point is that if we take all of this, then maybe there are various ways of looking at it, in which the minor differences that we have, because I don't think our differences are that large, that can be accommodated. So those are just some remarks that I wanted to make. But I think what perhaps we should do, and we shouldn't talk about Article 22 at this point, because it might be a good idea to have for us to caucus a bit and take a look at what you have offered, and take it from there. Chuck, you're muted. You have to repeat everything.
So thank you. Thank you for pointing that out. I appreciate your comments. We understand your position, and we tried to share with you where the university rests on those points. And we understand that we don't agree completely on all those things. But I appreciate you sharing that with us, so that we understand where you and the union are coming from. Thank you.
I should point out one more thing. This was not clear to people. And this is that in the merit that you've offered, which is 2%, there was a confusion about the number 1 and 1.7. And I did want to point out that 1 and 1.7 is the ratio, and not that people who got above satisfactory get 1% and people who got outstanding get 1.5% more. That's not it. In fact, let's say if this is, again, just for the record, that if in a department everybody got outstanding, then everyone in that department will get the 2% plus the 1%. So everyone in that department will get a 3% raise. Yeah. On the other hand, if in a department half the people got above satisfactory, say hypothetically, half got above satisfactory, half got above outstanding, then there would be a split in which the half that got above satisfactory will get the total 1 plus 1.7, so maybe 2.7% or 2.6%, and the others will get higher than 3%.
Well, so, I want to build on your example, if I may. If the people above satisfactory end up with a 1.7% merit, the people getting outstanding will get 2.89%.
Right.
It'll be 1.7 times 1.7.
Right. So that's exactly the way to work it. And so that's where these things are. And before we go into caucus, in the end, we will be also talking about Article 22. And we have had some kind of an understanding. We haven't put a proposal forward in writing, but we have had some discussion about keeping the status quo. Is that something, I mean, could we go with with all the editorial changes, name changes, and all those things, could we move with that in mind, or is there something to discuss?
Well, as I said at the outset, we need to approve these, agree as a package. But what you just described is consistent with what we understand. There are some things that we've agreed to. There are a few things that we hadn't agreed to, but also hadn't heard any pushback from any concerns about it, with one exception. And that was where we had proposed that the PDP period be limited to one semester instead of the current one or two semesters. And if we can agree on 23, if we can agree that the mutually accepted changes will stay, and we resolve the ones that we haven't officially resolved, if we can come to agreement on all that, we would withdraw our request to change the length of the PDPs.
I think that's the only, we had proposed a few things. Yeah, right, sure. So I get it. I get it. Okay. So let's go for a caucus then for about
caucus
20 minutes or something like that?
20 or 25. So we either come back at 2:40 or 2:45. What's your preference?
2:45.
I'll see you then.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Talat. We'll see you. And we can stop recording for now. All right. Welcome back, everybody.
Okay, I guess we are back. So, we had a good discussion, interesting discussion. We had about 40 people there, and one thing that and let me go down this Chuck and see what the reality is, because one thing that I do want to assure you is that we would like to get this taken care of as soon as possible. So we do not want to extend the deadline. What I would like to say, because we've got several suggestions, and unless you are in touch with the bank and those who hold the keys to the bank and can give us all what we want, then maybe what we could look into is that, is there a possibility of our meeting next week?
We're going to be shorthanded next week. I think we might be able to meet on the 25th.
On the 2 weeks from today. Okay, so let's go with that. So let me say the input that we got from members who were there. So one was this multi-year. Is there any possibility of getting a multi-year? Several in the SUS have got it. And so we feel that, that is something that makes people more comfortable. So I know you had said something about that was not what UCF was thinking about, but is that a possibility?
If that's something that's important, we'll ask the question again.
Okay. So that would be a multi-year. What you're offering now, a multi-year would work a lot. So that would be the first one. The other one is that with regard to merit, I mean, first of all, you know, we are also for merit. So I don't want people to get the impression that that is, you know, in fact, we want to encourage nothing but merit. So the question here is how do we go about rewarding people, and how do we do what is fair, and what, you know, particularly because the way evaluations are done have always a subjective element in it. So the question is the following. We talked about the ADI, and ADI is being used for merit. If you're talking about the pool of money, and I do realize that ADI money does not come from the same pool that you're talking about here in terms of the raises. But one scenario could be that if you had 1.5% across the board, 2% merit, and then 1% ADI. Is that something that could be worked out? Again, it's not causing you centrally a lot of, that probably is
feasible. I want to make sure that I understand this. What you're talking about is 1.5% across the board, 2% merit, and a 1% ADI.
Yeah, and in merit, could we talk about a ratio of 1 to 1.5?
Plus the one-time payment.
And then there was the request about the one-time payment. That could that be increased by $500? We can send it all to you in writing.
You know, thank you for these suggestions. I have asked some of these types of questions before, and I think I know what the answer to most of them would be. I know how strongly that the president and provost feel about the merit. I know how strongly that they feel about ADI. That was something that the president has really emphasized in a past meeting that we had. This is when we're going through the full book negotiations. I know how he feels about the ADI. So reducing ADI, I don't think it's something that would be attractive to him. One thing that I think we could do today is change the weighting scheme on the merit increase.
Okay.
If we could seal the deal with all the things that we've talked about and went to a 1.5 for outstanding and a 1.0 for above satisfactory and seal the deal today, we could do that. I know I have the authority to do that.
And what about the across the board 1.5?
That I don't have. I mean, as I mentioned earlier, the total package of the 3%, that's fixed. I can't go above that 3%.
You can't go above the 3%.
Well, and also, you know, the president and the provost are very interested in having a merit component, a real merit component to that. So I don't feel, you know, that I have much wiggle room there. I don't have any there right now. But if we could do something today, I could go with a 1.5 to 1 ratio on the outstanding to above satisfactory.
So, And do you have any leverage over the one-time payment?
No, I don't. I mean, we made an increase before, and we're very fortunate to do that. What we've done is projected based on that larger amount of 2,500. We're adding more onto that because we'd be going three pay periods from what we originally proposed without an increase. And we've looked at what that needs to be consistent with what we did last year. For example, we did $100 per pay period last year when we were implementing a 2.5% increase. We're doing a 3% increase this time. So that jumps the 100 to 125, or excuse me, to 120, to 120. And then we had a 2.5% increase last year. That brings it to 123. We went with 125. We're saying 125 per pay period. That's where that number came from. So it's consistent with what we've done in the past, recognizing that we're using a different total percentage in our package this year, and recognizing that there was a 2.5% increase last year. So that's how we came up with that number.
But you know, you're already at 2850.
2875.
So why don't you just make it 3,000? You can certainly do that. I think. That's one thing. The other thing, but Chuck, while I'm at it, why don't we do just for this time, and then it will be clear to the bargaining unit that we do the merit as 0.5, 1, 1.5, and that way we have satisfactory, above satisfactory, and outstanding.
But I can assure you
that that's not going to
talk about a merit raise. I'm not going to ask a question where I know the I know what the answer is.
Okay. But you could do one thing. You could make it 1.5 and 1.5. We could make across the board 1.5, and merit 1.5.
Now I assure you that our leadership would rather have a strong merit component. It would be easier for me to argue a 3.0 merit and no across the board. that would be an easier case for me to make. I'm just being honest with you. That's where I think the more significant component of that package needs to be the merit increase. So, but you know, if you want to get together again on the 25th, we're happy to do it. I can ask I'll ask these questions, including the question about a $3,000 one-time payment.
Why don't we send you, if it's okay, these three proposals so that it's all there? And we will put them out as 3,000, and then one is the one where the ADI is 1%. You can take a look and see what happens, and then the other one, where the ADI is the way it is, and then we do the 1.5 and 2, and then these are the three, but we certainly do not want this to be dragged out.
Okay, and if you send that information to me, I will get with the provost and the president's office, and we'll try to get some answers as quickly as we can, and hopefully be able to, you know, my intention is to respond on the 25th. If we agree, that's what we want to do.
Is there any way, Chuck, that we could meet earlier than 25th? Is there any way we can meet?
All right, Talat, we want to come to an agreement so badly. Even if I'm shorthanded, if I have to do this by myself, we will meet on the 18th.
Okay, I appreciate that very much. You know, I think we're almost there. We are appreciative of what is being done, and we would like to make sure that all our unit members recognize that they are being recognized, and that we are close to getting to an agreement.
Talat, if I may ask, there are some very minor changes elsewhere in the article. Are we, and I'd like to, if we're in dispute with those, I'd like to get those settled just so that I understand, but I don't think there's a dispute. Are we okay with the rest?
You mean with the Article 23?
Yes, ma'am.
We probably have to go through it, whatever you sent.
Yeah. Let's do it this way. If we didn't find anything, I think if it is, it would be editorial, and we'll send it back to you.
It's the same as before. There's no changes to the rest of the document. It's the same questions that we had before, but it's just we've never taken the time to talk about
those,
those little things. I didn't think there was an objection, but I just wanted to make sure. And that helps us all move forward on the minor stuff.
Appreciate that. And the same with Article 22. We have what we did is we took the status quo and put in it the changes that we have both agreed on. And I can send a copy of that to you.
Well, why don't you just present it?
We can just really quickly show it.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Because there again, we may have missed a change or two. And if that is the case, then
we'll take a look at it in the time.
Make
sure. So I can send this, or Talat can send this to you, Charlie. Essentially what this version is, it's our fourth. I did this in comparison. The track changes are off the full book version. Okay. So all the changes that would be made from the existing one are indicated here. And these are all changes you made or we made and that we have mutually agreed to previously. There's three exceptions. I will show you very quickly. There is a hyphen that was missing.
Right.
There was one PDP appointment that we both missed.
Okay.
And there is a changing he or she to they. Everything else should be mutual
up.
Agreement
yeah.
that we have talked about before, but please go through it and compare it.
Yeah.
But basically this is status quo with the previously agreed to changes in verbiage and minor things that we agreed to. So I can send that.
Can you go to 129 for just a second, please? That's where I was looking, because we talked about something in 129 and I didn't know if you guys had picked it up. 128. Set forth below. I don't see.
129. Which can you say which section it is?
22.2. Hold on, I'm trying to track through. Right above that. There it is. Longevity.
We got that. We got longevity in the sabbatical.
I know. Can you roll up just a hair? It's above 22.2. So I'm trying to. There we are.
There it is. Okay. But no additional compensation.
Yep. I added, we accepted that from your proposal.
That's we weren't sure if you had or not. So that's great. That means we're pretty much on the same page. We'll look through yours and we certainly can make some progress there. We will be able to report that back. It is part of the package for both of us. So thank you.
Correct. So Claudia can send that to you right away.
That would be lovely. Right.
Thank you.
Claudia, I am owed a couple documents. The university salary increases, the spreadsheet of ABI use, and this. Okay.
Got it.
Okay. Thank you very much, everyone. I think we're almost there.
Yes. Yes. Thank you.
Number five, right, Claudia? That was number five?
Four.
Four. Okay. Thank you.
And I'll send you the material I used.
Lovely.
Thank you.
Chuck, go and find $125. You can do it.
It's in his pocket.
He has a box of money just hanging around.
See you. See you guys. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
I do have a box of money.
Closer. We can't see it.
It's different colors, but it doesn't spend well. Unfortunately. You are welcome to $125 out of that box.
Thank you, everybody.
So thank you, everybody.
Sorry, Chuck.
Yes, sir.
I just want to make sure I'm clear. We're going to meet on the 18th.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I'll schedule that. Thank you.
Thank you, everybody.
And recording.
Sessions adjourned. Have a good day.
And recording.